Hi, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of Third Culture Kids. But it is not just any episode. It is our final episode of the year of 2020. Woo-hoo! This is it.
This is awesome. And so today we have...
laughing at myself.
And today we have Ivana. Hi, Ivana.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Dude, okay. We love Ivana so much. And there was, I thought.
She's our friend from AUP.
Yes. And she's a writer, creative, just like honestly a light in this world. Yeah. And like, we couldn't think of anyone better to have on our last episode of the year because she just has such an amazing outlook on life and is just so positive.
And so interesting.
So interesting. Aww. And so creative. And before we get into the episode, first of all, I hope everyone's enjoying wherever you're spending your holidays. I hope it's going well. If you're alone, we're here for you because we've been in isolation since March. So, you know, we get the pleasure to be with our families this holiday season, but that's not the case around the world, as we know.
Definitely.
And being alone is a huge deal, which is something we're going to talk about today. But I wanted to share something super exciting. And I told Leia as soon as we found out. So, like, you know how the end of the year, whatever streaming platform you listen to, Spotify, Apple, whatever, they've been collecting our data. They know everything about us. Like, Google knows everything about us.
But this is positive. They give us a nice little recap of the year, which is what we're going to be doing today as well.
Yes. So we have listenership over the past year in 36 countries covering every continent of the world, which, I don't know, it's just so incredible when I, like, got the email in our inbox saying, like, oh, your yearly, like, recap is up, and I like looked at it.
It's
amazing.
I'm like,
what the heck? We started this at school in the multimedia office. Yeah. And honestly, at least for me, I did this just to feel a bit less alone in Paris. Like, yeah. I don't know about you.
I did this to meet people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes so much sense that we have listeners all over the world because all of our guests come from like literally everywhere. And we talk about such international topics. So yeah, so it's really awesome. It's kind of cool. Can you give us some countries?
Sure. I mean, I can talk really fast and list them all off. So
maybe not all. It's a lot.
United States. You know what? No, I'm going to do all because this is the last episode of the year. United States, France, United Kingdom, Germany, Hong Kong, Canada, United Arab Emirates, Japan, Australia, Mexico, Spain, Israel, Italy, Ireland, Austria, Colombia, Netherlands, Thailand, India, South Korea, Cambodia, Denmark, Singapore, New Zealand, Belgium, Mongolia, Qatar, Georgia, Switzerland, Vietnam, Czech, Finland, I'm sorry, I think that's Czech Republic.
Czech, yeah, yeah.
Finland, Indonesia, Uganda, Norway, and Philippines. So woo! For everyone
Holy
who's
shit.
Thank you so much for sticking by us this year. We literally, like, at least I thought people would be annoyed with my voice after episode 2. And it would just be like our moms.
I mean, it's just our moms.
Like, why am I still here?
But it's really heartwarming to see that we know we have people from like all over the world coming together and listening to our podcast. It's so nice.
Yeah.
Like, so thank you so much.
Thank you so much. So let's get on with it.
Yeah. Let's just go straight into it. But so Ivana, can you tell us a little bit about like yourself? Where do you come from? What makes you a third culture kid?
Okay. Well, I'm from Nicaragua. So
by the way, I love the way you're holding your mic. Respect. Just shout out everyone who's listening.
Can you describe it?
Yes. So Ivana is not wearing AirPods because she's against like just that cultural
technology.
Like, she loves herself. And so she's wearing the ones that still have the string. And I told her right before we started recording, I go, Ivana, I love you to death, but our past three guests have all had.
By the way, there's nothing wrong.
There's nothing wrong, but it's
the
just
earphones
the
with no, wires. Because I feel like it's like World War like three.
It's the end of the year, Leia.
Oh yeah.
No. That's not at all what I meant. What I meant was everyone that we've recorded with, it ends up falling the dongle. So halfway through the noise quality changes.
You know what? Dongle.
I'm going to call it a mic.
It's a mic.
I'm going to call it a dongle. And if you want to come at me, go ahead. But guess what? We're more than 6 feet apart. So you
definitely
can't even
not
reach
a dongle.
Me. You know what? Fine. Okay. The microphone.
Dongle.
But Ivana has so graciously, no other guest we've had on the show has done this. This is more proof why she should be the last guest of the year. Is that she has wrapped one side of the cord around her ear, the other one on the left. I'll put it on like the BTS on our Instagram story so you guys can see, because this is honestly a sight to see. I feel like I'm on a flight.
It's interesting.
And you're about to give me like, you know, like the security instructions. I don't know why. I just get that
complex though.
Yeah, it's complex, but not. It's like Art Deco.
No, but it's like, you know, the Disney Channel, like the kids, they would wear that mic, or you know, they would be like that.
Yeah.
Kids Bop. Everybody now. dude, I just want to say like thank you, because that just goes to show like you appreciated like our requests. Like I love you to pieces. Anyway,
yes. Okay, so let's let Devonna talk. Yes. Can you tell us about like yourself? Yeah, where you come from.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm from Nicaragua, but the reason I'm here in Europe is because I have a European passport, so I have Italian citizenship.
And how?
And that,
how do you have that?
Because my family from my dad's side, I don't know who it was. There was some Italian person that passed down the. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just. I don't know. I think one of my last names is Italian, so it must have just gone there through a lot of people, and then one just passed the citizenship on, and most Mantikas somehow have it got like back the, to you. Yeah, and that made it super a lot easier to come to Europe, because I'm lazy as shit and I don't do all the paperwork and that just so it was just easy to upload.
I get that.
Yeah, and like have a like be protected enough to be here and not feel like they're gonna just kick me out of
course.
Yeah. And so how was growing up in Nicaragua?
Well, it's like it's like a little tiny circus where you know everyone. So it was hard to find people that even read. So that was hard enough. And you feel very, it has a bad thing and a good thing. You feel like alone in mm-hmm. your pursuits and your passions, and yet you feel encouraged because your individuality is more like
recognized.
Yeah, and since you're the only person there, or you're in part of the very tiny minority, then you try to expand that as much as you can, you know, and try to. So I always strive to get out of there, and but not just be selfish and leave like that. I always wanted to find other people and try to show others how reading is nice. And actually now Iwo, my brother, reads, and so that's like a big achievement, you know. And but
what was the lifestyle like? Because I have no idea, you know,
your
like
childhood.
Because I always tell Sarah, like growing up in Hong Kong, it's like flip-flops and shorts.
The three of us have had literally the most opposite like growing up experience, which
so like what is it like for you, like what's like living in Nicaragua like?
Well, I mean, I'm part of a very tiny minority in Nicaragua. I mean, it's Nicaragua is a really, really poor country, and we're part of like the, and it's divided by like social classes. So you have like the lower class, middle class, and then the higher class. And since Nicaragua is such a poor country, I'm in the middle to the high, which is not like in American perspective or European, like not at all.
Yeah,
but it's just so I come from like this really tiny bubble of privilege there, because I always had people driving me. I always had my Nana Algeris, who's my mom, who would always cook for me and take care of me always. So I was very protected, and coming
like
here, you know, there's so. Oh, it is a bubble. It is a huge bubble. And so I was always super far away from the poverty, but far away in the sense that I was in a bubble, but it surrounded me. So I was aware of it. It's just I was never burned by it. But it doesn't mean like you're not sympathetic to. I mean, it's not like sympathy can stretch to like own experience. So that way I'm very, very, very privileged. And coming here was this huge eye-opening thing, even though I
feel
wanted
like eye-opening that. Eye-opening is understatement. I feel like my eyelid flipped upside down.
Yeah.
But you lived in a few places, right? I mean, weren't you saying you lived in like somewhere in the U.S.? Miami as well.
I stayed in Miami for 6 months, but we didn't plan ever to like go and live there. It was just, we went 1 month for vacation because Nicaragua was in this really social mess. Like it was really scary and dangerous. And so I had to leave.
When was this?
This was in the 2018. It started in April. So like my school got canceled. There were like, it was really, really dangerous.
And can you explain a bit, because for people who don't know, about what was happening politically at that time? Because I think this is something really huge that most of us didn't even know was happening.
Yeah, I mean.
Technically, geographically, I'm not that far from you and I had no idea.
Yeah, I know. Because that the thing is that media coverage is all owned by the government, so they control what goes in and what doesn't. Yeah, and the few really censored, media... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it's extremely censored. I mean, they were people, the media was they robbed them their cameras, like the police just got there and they would like confiscate everything and put them in jail. Some of them are still in jail. Country. Mm-hmm. Exacto. And so there was no way. But this is how the world came to know more about what was happening in Nicaragua. It's like because people had their cell phones. And so that's a really good thing about technology, because it's like in the civil rights movement that you could see it through the media, you know, what was happening.
Totally.
So
that was more like Black Lives Matter. Like if nobody videotaped what happened to George Floyd, we probably never would have seen it.
Exacto.
Yeah.
Because there was a bystander there filming it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we have a George Floyd in Nicaragua. His name is Alvarito. And I don't remember his last name, but he was 15 years old. He was giving water to these students protesting, and he was shot in the throat. And his last words were, "I can't breathe." You know, so we had that, and it was so sad. And yet people had to stay there. Young people had to leave because they would be, killed and everything.
But like, what actually happened, like in 2018? Then,
yeah. Why were people protesting? What happened was,
because the government wanted to take the old people's pensions. So the students protested against it in a peaceful manner. Like they, one day in April 19th, they just took down the university and they said they wouldn't leave. Mm-hmm. And then the government just started shooting them. And then the first thing I know is I'm in school and I see this picture of a kid
was this at the time where you were in a private Catholic high school?
Yes.
Okay, because that's also something I think is important to talk about, just for context, because you changed schools a few times.
It was really horrible, and that's why I left to Miami. But then I got sick, and then I had to stay a little bit more there, and I was able to like strip myself from everything, every stereotype, every cultural dipping everything by being exposed to another culture, such as like in the U.S.
So you really felt like really nice. Going and living in Miami, you felt like you could leave behind all this like legacy that you, and then the stuff you experienced in Nicaragua. What do you mean?
Well, because it's not only like the fear. I mean, I had I was so scared to go anywhere that like the first time I was staying in this little Airbnb with my family, I was sick and I stayed, I was staying in Coconut Grove, which is like a really nice little area where you can just walk and, you know, very safe. And I got out of the house, and even that was like an act of rebellion. And I was so scared, and I walked to the next block, and going there felt like I was going to die, you know, but I did it. So the fear of like going places or that anything would happen to me, I was just stripping myself out.
Wait, what do you mean like going outside was a big thing? Like you had never gone outside by yourself unattended to?
Yeah,
without
never.
Without a driver, without a detail, without.
Why?
Yeah, because it's very, I mean, Nicaragua is safe. Is the safest place. I mean,
I thought it was the safest. Yeah.
Yeah, but still, I mean, we have many precautions, you know. So I've always been guarded. I've never been alone. Drivers, nanas. We would never go anywhere alone. So that like the whole culture where you can just walk and not, you know, have anyone with you was new and amazing. It really was.
But it's like a personal freeing.
Yeah. So like after your experience in Miami, you came back to Nicaragua. And so I want you to talk a bit about your experience senior year, because you kind of did an interesting shift from the Catholic private high school you thought you would stay at, that you hated.
Yeah.
Did you hate it?
Yeah. And then leading into AUP, like, just tell us about that.
Oh my God. Well, I missed my senior year. So when I left to Miami, I couldn't go back to Nicaragua because I got sick. And so they were like delaying the year for me. Mm-hmm. They were saying like I could do online, but I never really did it. So it was from
COVID, guys, promise.
So I stayed there for 6 months and I lost 6 months of my senior year. By then, by the time I got back to Nicaragua in January of 2019, they were like, we can't accept you anymore. You'll have to wait until the next school year begins. I didn't want to wait. So I entered this online school, which I didn't do at all. I procrastinated, like, you know, like,
I mean, it's online school. That's tough. Come on.
Yeah. No, but it was more because.
Yeah. You admitted it, though.
Yeah, no, but it was those 6 months that I didn't have school, I didn't have anything to do. Those were the best.
And you were literally but you were also displaced from like everything you ever knew.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
New like thing where you could go out every night and be who you wanted to be and walk in the street alone. Like,
yeah, so then fuck school. Yeah, of course you're gonna be living something different.
It was great.
I know, in America, senior year is so stressful, man. Like.
Well, I've never really had much like for school stress. No, I just gave up. I don't even try. You know, if I'm gonna feel stressed, it's gonna be about it's other things. You know, more important than school. But those 6 months were just great. I did street art. I went to the art festivals. I went to the bookstores. I wrote, and I realized I really wanted to pursue writing and try. You know,
yeah, because you're a writer. We haven't said this on the show yet, I don't think, but you are a writer. Yeah,
we're definitely gonna like dive like into that, and we want to hear like all about that.
Yeah,
but just before, so like, what brought you to Paris? What made you want to come study in Paris?
Okay, so well, I wanted to go to London always, because you know, I writing and the publishers, English, the literature, everything, but London would be too much in my comfort zone. So I really wanted this.
And why
big
is that?
Class.
Because English?
Because it's English, because it's what I wanted. It's what I thought I would like. It's what I've always, you know, I've always read English literature. I know I would like it.
Comfort
level. So I wanted. Yeah, and that's where I'm heading after, you know, after France. But I really liked the idea of going somewhere I've never been. I've never been to Paris, to be somewhere completely different from whatever I'm used to. And I wanted that huge clash that would just leave, you know, bring me down or whatever, you know.
It's like all of AUP.
Mine are
that.
Falling off.
No, yours are fine.
They're not doing.
They're
so
fine. Well. You did it fine. But okay, if your dream was to go to London, then why didn't you just go?
Yeah, because it's still Europe.
Yeah.
No, because it was. Yeah, I don't know. I thought French people would be more.
Nice.
Chaotic. Whatever you're about, no, like, whatever you're about to say, I'm gonna laugh.
No, I thought they would be. It would bring me more chaos, and I mean, when I was
not wrong. Yeah.
Exactly. So I knew where I was. I knew that I was gonna come into this huge clash.
But dude, why were you looking for chaos?
Because that's what moves.
As one does.
That's what.
Why
gets
not?
Me out.
Why not? I know I'm looking for chaos.
And do you feel like Paris is what you expected it to be? Do you think it's as chaotic as you would have liked it to be? Or do you think they?
Oh my God. But that's the thing. I didn't expect it to be anything. I just knew there was going to be chaos because
and
there was going to be things I'm not used
to. For context, for people who don't know, at the end of the semester, it will have been 1 year we spent at AUP, two semesters from January 7th to January 7th. Just context. So when we say like, your experience in Paris thus far, we're just recapping.
You're like order and chaos. Thank you.
Yeah, because I feel like just for people listening, I guess now in 36 different countries, it just needs to make sense. So
we're showing off big time.
No,
36 different countries.
No, I just mean like I don't want us to sound just like rambling frogs.
No,
like,
of course.
I mean,
right,
frogs
thank you,
don't
we
ramble.
Appreciate it.
I meant to say chickens, not
you're
frogs.
Rambling now. Okay, Ivana, back to you.
Oh my God. Wait, what were you saying? What were you asking?
So you wanted the chaos of France.
And okay, how like, you
the
know,
chaos
expectations
of-
versus reality.
Yeah.
Well, the expectation was the chaos part because I wanted to go to New York when I turned 19 and I thought it was going to be this and it wasn't that at all. And I just went for my birthday. And so after that, I realized I will never expect anything from anything because it's unrealistic. You know, it's just it doesn't make sense. So I didn't have that for Paris. I didn't romanticize it. I didn't make it bad. I just I said, I'm going there. And AOP brought that, you know, because it was taught it's in English. So I was like, okay, I have the school, whatever, good. But the country, that's where I need to be, the place. Mm-hmm. And I came here. I've never lived alone. I've never been alone, so free. And I didn't even know how to wash my clothes. I spent 2 months just every single piece of clothing I had.
I was gonna say without washing anything. One of the first times you came over to my place, you saw me put like my socks and my bras in the washing machine. And you were like, uh-huh. What are you doing? And yeah. I'm like, what do you mean? Like I've been washing those by hand. Like that's what Adjeris like did for me at home. And I'm like, dude, sister, you're yeah. putting yourself through more trouble. You don't need to hand wash those.
To be fair, if you have nice bras, it's better to hand wash them.
Well, I put them in a like but a sac lingette.
Okay. Sac lingette. That works too. In a bag. But
no,
ideally.
No, but the purpose is exactly sure. what you were saying. Like you just, and it's not your fault. You genuinely just didn't know these things. And there's nothing wrong with
that. I didn't know how to cook. Nothing. Yeah. Dude, I learned everything.
The first time we hung out, I think I came over yeah. to your little studio before the place you're living in now, and there were bananas on your counter that looked like you had brought them from Nicaragua 6 months ago, and they had been sitting there that whole time with like flies accumulating really? Everywhere oh. and like chicken with cuisine. I'm oh sorry, God. I don't mean to roast you. I was just like, oh man, sister needs a cooking lesson no, dude. So bad.
I know. I didn't know how to cook. I didn't know how to wash. I didn't know those everything was. I did. Back. I was. Oh my! Oh, and then the kiwis. Holy shit! Oh my god!
Oh no!
Yeah.
We can't talk about it. I have PTSD. Kiwis. They were not the color that they should have been. Like you cut one open in front of me. It was like, wait a minute. There's something really there's wrong something. Here.
Oh my god!
But I love you for it because I've learned so much from you. Like. Yeah. I don't know.
How do you think I've been able to cope? I've been learning everything from you guys. You've taught me, you've taught me how to go to Marche, all the tricks, everything. You guys just,
the tricks.
I've been taking lessons from all of you.
Tricks
of yeah, yeah.
How to swindle your way into like a baguette. Oh, man. But anyway, back on topic.
But yeah, but like, okay, can you tell us about like your
did
writing?
You see, that was good. I brought us back.
I'm impressed. I'm usually the one doing that.
I know. Yeah. See, it's good. But can you end tell- of the year, I learned something.
But can you tell us a little bit like about your writing and like how you got into it and what you do?
I've always liked to write. That's just writing. It's just always been there.
When you got to
like AUP, this quarantine,
what was your quarantine, what was your outlook on it when you got to AUP on writing, and how did this past year of two lockdowns and the self-discovery and all of this shit that we went through, how did it change that? How did it change your creativity? Because
well,
you're still
the
girl
quarantine
who writes
just
little
gave
poems
me-
in her notebook. Like you're constantly writing things.
Yeah. I don't know, just the way that I, like, for instance, yesterday, in quarantine, I was able to put all the poems from the little tiny notebooks together in one mm-hmm. little bag, which was a bigger poetry collection, which I submitted to these publishers and everything, you know, and I got rejected and some wanted to scam me and everything, but I did that. And that collection was called Fresh Fruit Will Also Expire.
Your bananas
and oh, then
and the kiwis.
Oh my god, no, but I mean that in itself also is a lesson I learned. Fresh fruit will also expire, you know. Relationships will become other relationships. People come in and out of your life, you know. It's
there's
like
a
metro station, really. Yeah, and I learned that too this year with some friends and people, you know. But like yesterday we were No, wait. Okay. No, it was not yesterday.
A while ago.
Well, okay.
A while ago. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember when we got together for your birthday?
Yeah, you guys surprised and
we were
me
all just
my door for my birthday a few weeks ago. That's
yeah.
what you're talking about, right?
And yes. Yesterday's another thing.
That was so sweet, by the way.
Oh, no. And I told you I had a... Yeah. Hopefully we, well, you know, I waited like 20 freaking minutes in the rain there with Giuseppe. I mean, you know,
I'm so sorry. Yeah. That's definitely my fault.
Small, minor.
No, it was.
But to be fair, Sarah is the best person ever.
Oh my gosh. That is, okay.
I know.
It was like 8 p.m. So I was like, I'm going to go to the pharmacy and I'm going to go to Picard and this and that. I'm like, oh my God, stop. Because
I had to find this special face wash. It was just too much. Like I'm trying to like
oh my God.
A surprise party.
In my courtyard. You're not
cooperating. Yes. Anyways, yes, you were going to say about that in your writing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was the first the Thanksgiving one.
Yeah.
No, I was writing when we were all having a great time and I was drunk off my ass, you know, and yet still I wanted to capture. I wanted to reciprocate. I wanted to grab that I was even feeling and that was cold. No. But I'm not saying like when I was waiting for you, for your ass looking like a hooker. No, I mean like inside when we were all together, already drunk, like in the wee hours of the night, you know, already a little wasted and everything. No, that's where I just picked up my pen and I started describing it. And the words just, you know, they flowed really nicely. And it's like, it felt like I was making sushi, you know, like the raw fish, dead right there, alive, just dead into right sushi. That's how it felt. Like, you know, ooh. Yeah, just like that. And that was it. It was like, I took all of you guys and I just put you in the page. And I was able to capture that immediately.
For us, for our listeners, or if you're uncomfortable, it's okay. But I mean, then it would be awkward because we're all making eye contact with each other, to be honest.
Oh my God.
But no pressure.
Okay. So
if you have another one,
no pressure, but please share.
Something that encompasses your year.
Okay. Well, I can just the one that we worked together.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Shut up. Okay, I wrote this one. Oh my God. Oh man. Okay, I wrote this one when I got home at 5:30 a.m. I was drunk off my ass, and yet this is what I needed to recall. So it's 5:30 a.m. 5th of December. Okay. Say, they were mad little tulips deflowering on the streets, stripped of convention, pretty little life dropouts, just for one night. Bless, they won't forget it all, the binding of the ape, still smelly on their skin. Monkeys worrying about money in a suit, paid no heed when stripped he saw a banana, or stripped to a banana. Preach, monkey, preach. We stripped our conventions, and alas, our bare skin was groped by the air. We were able to say that we were anything. Cold, Andrea said, and for once we wore that.
It's really good. It's just that I can picture the scene in my head.
Yeah, because you got
exactly
trying to keep the geste barrière and be good, upstanding citizens. My ass was freezing,
dude. We were just stripping in the air because it was our last night. I love that.
Can you send know it
that
to
was
me?
Always been my wish, but. Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. We never would have had this moment if it was not for the dumpster fire of 2020.
But is it a dumpster fire? I mean, it's just a year.
It was just a year with challenges and ups and downs like every other year, but they were very different in nature this year than maybe other stuff we experienced in our lives.
It just hit different. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Just for me, I guess, then.
I mean, you're not the only one.
I don't know
like,
if anyone listening can relate. But
yeah.
A lot of people, right?
I don't know. As an American, like, watching the election, for some reason, like, being, watching it from here and not being home, like, I don't know. I wanted to be there so bad.
Why?
Me too.
I just felt like I had to be there. And, like, when there was all the protests for Black Lives Matter, like, I wanted to be there. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you're missing out on like
I know.
Stuff that's happening?
And like, and then
you
even
feel that too, Ivana?
Yeah,
like,
it's been a year since I've been in my country before.
In between the two lockdowns, and we were with your brother, and you got a video of like your church by your home burning down because there were protests.
Yeah.
And you just looked at it, and you were
exactly.
like,
I mean,
"Oh my
so
gosh,
many things.
I wish I was there."
I mean. It's just your country goes on without you, you know, and you're, it's like, and you're away. That's the thing.
But
you're
I
just
think
away
that's part
and,
of being
and you grow that way.
we're always going to be away from something that's like part
right.
of us.
Right. And there's like big changes going on yeah. right now. I mean, you know, there was the elections and I mean, all the social unrest in Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. And like, actually, to be honest, I relate to that too, because in Hong Kong right now, it's kind of chaotic, right? I mean, China is taking over Hong Kong and like yeah. changing laws and all of that. And it's really messy. And it's really scary. Yeah. Because I know that my home is never going to be the same again.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we have that with childhood? I mean, we have the beautiful memory of childhood and we're never going back to that again, you know? And then what and about the when you move out of your parents? Childhood.
Yeah. And like, I think we've all talked about this before, but the thing where like, it's when you're younger, you think your parents are perfect and they can't do anything wrong. And you think that they like you idolize them and it's like, they know everything. And then you get to 19, you get to 20, 21 now, 22. And it's like, actually, like being an adult is really hard. And most of the time you're just figuring it out as you go. Yeah. I don't know. I feel
you're not just a kid that becomes an adult. It's a whole life process. Yeah, I still think like 40-year-olds are still figuring shit out all the time.
Yeah.
It's just a constant, like, learning things. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Same.
But why? How was your experience of this year? Like when you reflect back on it, like, what do you guys think? Ivana, do you want to go first?
I think it's been the best year. It's been the best year ever. I really think it's been the fattest, the chunkiest, the hardest, the everything. And you know what? It's amazing that we all went through it together.
Yeah.
I mean, when is our pain synchronized with everyone? Yeah. You know, I mean, when is someone is in, you know, in the past would be like, oh, someone's in misery. That's them. I'm now. No, but it's like we've all been synchronized into feeling being in this quarantine and this everything. Yeah. And it's this synchronized chaos that we're all under the same roof.
I think it's so true what you say, like regardless of country, nationality, whatever, income, where you come from, how much money your parents have, like. There has always been so much hate on social media, but I feel like this year, because of everything that's happened and COVID, there has also been so much love and people like having compassion for one another. Mm-hmm. And like you were telling me this yesterday, but as human beings, we're not meant to be alone. We're not creatures that are meant to be alone. We're meant to be in groups. Yeah, we're meant to be social and communities. And this year was like really hard for that.
Yeah, but I mean, we've been also spoiled all the time with this constant distraction of being together and not being alone with ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, having friends and spending time with other people, it's great, but there's this beautiful, they're beautiful distractions. And the most difficult part of the first quarantine was being by myself. I was trying to escape it as much as I could.
Quarantine was a lot easier for me because I felt like I had a solid foundation of friends and people I could lean on. Not that I couldn't depend on you guys last semester. I just didn't know you as well and as in depth that I knew you now. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I mean, but it's all about finding the right balance, right? Like when you're saying, oh yeah, okay, so quarantine gives you an opportunity. I mean, it depends who, because people who are like with their whole families quarantined, it's very different. But for students who are by themselves in their flat, it gives you an opportunity to be with yourself, confront yourself and having to deal with that. But that can be overwhelming because you're not supposed to be completely by yourself like a hermit for days and days, weeks and weeks and months. So to make it more gradual and easier, it's all about finding the balance between like socializing, but not as a distraction. Socializing is like charge your batteries or to feel good. And, you know, because we're human beings are social animals. Like, you know, we have to do that too. But then also finding the time to be with you, like nurturing that too. Mm-hmm. Right? But I guess the quarantine is a bit brutal for that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Ivana, was like the hardest thing for you about 2020, whether it's a feeling or an experience or maybe your creativity and your writing shifted in a way that, I don't know, because I feel like for me, it's like I felt like a lot of things are out of my control. And maybe because you're a creative person, I don't know if like you feel that too.
Yeah, but like this year has been just with like creativity and everything, just make it a little more honest, go where it hurts to go. And really just like discover that, because I've never had panic attacks and
yeah
and I've never really, this year I've been having, you know, really bad anxiousness and really bad panic attacks that have become normal in my week, in my days. And I've realized like once I wrote in that episode, I just started describing what I was feeling, and it felt like I was digging out myself out of that hole by writing about it, you know, and describing it. And it just feels, I was out, you know, I was out, I was released out of there, and it just helped. It helped a lot. And then I can read it now, and I can see, you know, what I was going through, and like, it's like I caught a ghost in the camera, as I was telling a friend of mine. So it just, it helps. Yeah. And it helps a lot.
I think normalizing mental health.
To be more conscious.
Like, truly, you never know what someone else is going through. Truly. Truly. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think it's really brave of you to, like, just say, like, that you struggle with, like, panic attacks and with anxiety. And I don't know. There are people 3 times our age that can't even say that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I also feel like we're in a generation that's more and more accepting of this stuff, right? Like, which, I mean, we're talking more about this stuff and realizing that most, like, basically everyone going through something, right? And
yeah.
How do you feel like confinement has helped your writing and your creativity, or do you think it's hindered it, on the contrary?
But I mean, the thing is, writing is not like you're writing. Writing is just like putting things, feelings, emotions, happenings into paper. And sometimes, like, if I'm not in quarantine, my subject or whatever I write about is about the things I do, where I go, the people I see, the interactions. And it went in this quarantine, I've been by myself. So what I have to do is I have to dig in memory. I have to dig in my childhood. I have to dig
up
the graves of, like, old wounds. And it's been hard. I cried more than this year than ever. And it's just, it feels like I've been like discovering.
I just relate to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you say more on that? Cause I don't know. I just think that's a really important point.
What?
Having to be with yourself in your creativity. It's not the normal way that you would get inspiration. It's in aloneness.
Yeah. Because your subject is yours. So you have to dig up you. You know, you have to dig yourself up, and it's a little hard. It's tough because you remember things maybe you want to forget. And because we forget things that we really should remember, it would make life easier if we just don't ignore things that happen to us or things that make us suffer. Or, like, I've always been hiding from my own anxiousness. I've never tried to, you know, have it described or be conscious of it. And now I can say, like, when I'm anxious, like, I feel this cold and these chills and this feeling of doom. And I can write, like, not even 100 layers of warmth can protect me from the, you know, the cold little blade of this anxiousness that it's inside. And There's something there. I mean, there's pain, but there's a kind of pain that's like, it's inside of you. There's something inside of you that's causing this. And that might feel very scary, because it's, how can you escape your mind? How can you, you know, how can you get out of it?
You can escape your mind. That's through constant distractions. That's through constant distractions. Running away from everything. Spending your day like outside, like a maniac, doing a bunch of stuff.
Me. That's why
everybody does that to some extent, though. Like, you can't constantly, you know,
no, it's overwhelming. I don't know. This might be a good segue into, like, my, like, hardest part of the year. And honestly, like, I think this has been the best year of my life and also the worst, because I don't know. I feel like I've had the hardest time just, like, understanding myself. And, like, I told myself I wasn't going to cry on this podcast, and I won't.
But you can.
I mean, it's just, like, so tough to be in isolation for me. And I've always escaped my problems by being social. And this year, that was the last thing that was possible for me to do. And I had to face it. And it was really fucking hard, like really hard. And like, there were times where I'm like, why did I even do this? Why did I even move to another country just to be alone for a year? You know what I mean? And like,
have you problem?
I haven't. That's the thing. But it's like, when you're depressed, when you have anxiety, which are like things that I've struggled with, you can still be in a room full of people and feel like you're alone.
Yeah,
absolutamente.
But that's about filling in something within you, right?
Yeah, and like, it's hard, like it's a balance. And I think that, I don't know, I feel like there's something about taking that step and moving away from home and living on your own, where whether or not you're in confinement, you face this like, wow, like I'm an adult. Like I have to be an adult now. Like I'm not a kid anymore. And it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. It was all the things that I could depend on. Like I always thought growing up, oh, I'm so independent. But then it's like, I realize I get to college. I wasn't, I transferred schools because I was so depressed at my first school. And, but then there's still so many things to be grateful out of that. Because like, I feel like just the three of us, I feel like I've bonded with you guys so much because of this experience. Like Leia and me and I like our friendship, close. We got close because we were stuck in a house in the countryside in the middle of buttfuck nowhere.
It was nice though.
No, it was, but I just mean the isolatory part of us. I'm so grateful we got to be in your house.
No, I mean, I know. I just mean the middle of nowhere situations. Right. Yes. That's also how you can bond with people.
Yes. And it's in these situations where you see people's true colors.
Yeah.
Ivana, like, I mean, you talked a little bit about your childhood, like, and I don't know, like when you told me that you had lost your father when you were four, I was like, oh my God, I never would have expected this from her. Because when I saw you at AUP, like you just looked so strong and you had amazing style and you were a writer and your Instagram was so cool and poetic. I'm like, this girl has all of her shit together. And like one night you just told me, you were like, my dad died when I was four. And I was like, holy shit. Like this girl has like felt it, man. Like you lost a parent, you know, that's something that like, and you're still like standing on 2 feet and like, I don't know, you're so strong. And I admire you for that. Not just as a friend, but just as like, as someone that's like as we're trying to figure out life as well. I think like just the way you carry yourself. And it's like, if you didn't tell me, I never would have known that about you. You know what I mean? But like that.
Yeah, I feel the same way about you.
I know.
Exactamente. Like you were like, this box that just opened.
I know, like, I thought this was so funny. I'm going to bring this out, even though it's, like, self-deprecating to me. But you're like, when I met you, I thought you had a stick up your ass. I thought you were this rich bitch from Orange County. And Dima thought the same thing. And guess what? Now the three of us are like the three thieves, like, like, you know. And
I know.
And Dima straight up told me, he was like, Sarah, when I first met you, I thought you were so fucking annoying. And I was like, and me, like... being the sensitive piece of shit I am, I was like, oh my God, like he hates me. He's never going to like me. He's never going to be my friend. And now look at us. Like we're all like tight and like,
but this goes to show how resilient everybody is.
Yeah.
I mean, not this specific example, but you know, you can go through the most crazy shit.
Yeah.
And we're going through crazy shit right now. And yeah. We get out of it fine.
Exactly.
And strengthened.
See?
So
yeah.
So it's also a message of hope.
It is a message of hope.
And I guess, I mean, for me, it's been very different this year because 2018 and 2019 was for me the shittiest time of my life. Mm-hmm. So coming out of that and back into like a normal, like I had so many health issues and coming back here and like having a normal life, like semi-normal life and like meeting new, like wonderful people. And I don't know, just very simple things, but just like being able to be by myself and enjoy that, being able to like read again, being able to be in this amazing city and be with people that are so fantastic. Like all of that, but it's very different obviously because I had such a shit year before, but like all of this just feels like very fresh and very like simple and like back to the basics kind of thing, because we can't socialize as much. You spend more time with yourself and you spend more time with the people who count. right?
Yeah.
Things are, I don't know. So I guess I see it in that way more. Like, mm-hmm. I felt like it was coming back to what's essential. Like, we went to the countryside the first time. It felt very wholesome. Mm-hmm. And yeah, focusing on like well-being, you know, and like self-care and just doing stuff that makes you happy. And
yeah,
but it's tough too. That's all I'm saying. But like, I feel like out of this situation, there's many things that like, there's many like pépites d'or. There's like many small, like little, nice like, bubbles.
Buckets of joy.
Yeah. Honestly, things that we can like, be grateful for.
Seeing you guys on my door on my birthday, it just like, it made me so happy because I thought I was going to spend 21 alone. And I was like,
I mean,
in the US, like 21 is like, oh my god, 21, you can drink. And like,
can I just explain though what happened?
Yeah.
Because Sarah was so I was at Sarah's flat like the whole day, and Sarah's like, oh, I don't understand. Ivana and our other friend are too busy to come over tonight. Like, and you were really
come
really
over
upset.
In social distance, by the way, because I have ample room to social distance.
Of course, but I mean. You know, when you really thought it was just gonna be like alone and sad and
and
I felt so bad. I'm like, oh my god, like please don't cry.
I know.
Cry, but not because of that, just because I was like, I don't know, I was like, wow, it's the start of a new decade, like in my life, like oh man, it's just,
what lessons do you guys think you're gonna like take forward from this time into the future? God.
And you know, like, what was my question, like, was if it's really small, with this, but what would you tell yourself, like, not maybe when you're graduating high school, but what would you tell yourself like in high school about your 20s? If you could go back.
Your 20s aren't over at all.
You're 21. For the beginning.
You're 1 year into your 2 years into your 20s.
Fine, but like starting adult life, what would you tell yourself if you could go back? And so, maybe we'll do this again in a year.
Yeah. Okay, we'll do your question, then we'll do mine. But your thing, I would tell myself to ride out the wave, not be too rigid. Because the more rigid you are, the more resistant you are to change. And it's inevitable. It's going to happen anyway. So just to kind of like ride the wave. Mm-hmm. Basically, I think that's what I would tell myself. I don't know if I probably wouldn't listen though, but you know.
I know. I never took my own advice.
But like.
No, but I.
But you know, just like go with the flow.
It's no, so but cliche, it's but true.
Go with the,
there's
like, a, literally
there's
go with
a
the
reason
flow.
Cliche things are cliche. It's because. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
What about you, Ivana?
Well, I see time differently now, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't say, like, I've ever had a bad year because I don't see time as, like, years. It's, like, it's today, and then it's, like, right now. Like, it's, we're right here, right now.
No,
and then it's,
off.
Like...
You're, like, I
know, no, but, like, really, that's the thing. You might know something, and you know that you know it, but do you really, really, really... like know what it is that you already have in your mind, because sometimes I think we just take things for granted and we don't see things or just, you know, just really think about things. And
yeah, so like, what or would you tell like your what am I saying, your sheltered self in Nicaragua with drivers and nannies about what like 3 years from now your life would be, you know what I mean, like how it is now?
I don't know, get ready to get fucked up, you know? I don't know.
Get ready for battle.
Mean, exacto. I mean,
blow an arrow out.
Dude, pero igual, you know, when, like, I hated
claro
high school.
Si.
I claro que sí. Si. No, but I hated high school. And today, I miss it because old miseries become, like, these privileged
comfort.
Little
comforts.
Exactly.
And so in high school, everything was so expected. Like, you knew what was going to come.
Yeah. And it was so organized. That oppressive organization was like, oh my God, that
here
was some
1-6.
Exacto. So I don't know. Everything
my
turns on a new night.
Every like, day after second.
Oh no, you were that person. There's always that person.
What does that
with,
mean?
With some grapes and like string cheese, and
you
it's like
what?
Every day. It's like variety is an accident.
It's protein, okay? And it gave me stability.
String
okay?
cheese isn't even a real cheese.
You know what?
It's like it's, no, it's good.
I'm being
it's
honest,
good.
Okay?
I
whoa.
Loved it.
Jeez. Okay, so what would you tell your 18-year-old self?
Little
Sarah eating her string cheese. At recess.
Okay, it's not called recess in high school. It's called break tutorial. Because yes, you're supposed to go to your one of your classes to get help from the teacher.
Snack time, lunchtime.
Snack time? Are you 12?
I mean, that's what it is. We have like 20 minutes.
Okay, it doesn't matter. But anyway. The 20-minute break.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what I would tell myself. 12. Sounds like it when you say snack time. You want mommy to pack your peanut butter and jelly sandwich for you and cut off the crust?
Yeah. What if I do?
You know what? There's nothing wrong with that. Peanut butter is
great.
Yeah,
thank you.
And okay, for everyone listening not in France, you cannot find good peanut butter in France. It just doesn't
exist. You definitely can. It's just not.
No, where?
Really?
I can find good peanut butter here.
Then you haven't had good peanut butter. Okay.
And anyway, there's the question. Skippy.
Skippy. Yes. Yeah. Skippy's. Okay, so.
No, there is an American store near you. Mind.
There is. Okay, sorry, Sarah.
Yes,
for it.
Anyway. Okay. What I would tell myself is that it is 100% okay to feel the way I feel. My emotions are valid. The way I feel about things are valid.
Did you write this down beforehand?
No, okay. I've just honestly, this like whole month has just been like self-reflection. But I think back then, and I think people who knew me in high school really well could attest to this. I love how you're vaping. But back then, I was like, I've always been like open and social and bubbly and whatever, but like, you know, my home life was a bit troubled. And so I tried my best to hide that from everybody. And, I was very like blocked emotionally and I'm still like working through that today. And it's like, that's why this year has been really hard for me to like face all these things in isolation. So I would tell myself, yeah, it's okay to feel what you're feeling and it's mm-hmm. okay to ask for help when you need it. And I needed that help. And I would have said the next couple of years aren't going to be easy, but by being hard on yourself, it's only going to make it harder. And I think cutting yourself some slack, because the hoops we've like been through, like moving and like
the hoops,
being third culture kids. Okay, fine. I'll use
I'm seeing like a circus thing, you know?
Yeah. Hoops. I was thinking like a basketball hoop, like,
oh, I was imagining wings, you know, like flaming, like
fine,
that
too,
you jump through.
A flaming circus, whatever. But it's like, it doesn't get any easier. And the more that you like push your emotions down, the harder it is. The harder it is.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's
the
true.
The more you tell yourself, like, I can't feel this way and how I feel is wrong, the harder it is. And in high school, I beat myself up for it every single day. Freshman year of college, I beat myself up for it every single day. And like, now I'm just starting to learn, like, it's okay to just like have a meltdown and like,
yeah,
and get help and like have a therapist and like, I don't know. And also it's okay to talk to your friends about these things.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So that's what I would have told myself. Cause I think it would have helped me then just as much as it's helping me now.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And like, okay. So what kind of like lessons or whatever do you think you guys are going to bring forward into like 2021?
Actually, can I say one that's like funny before we get into some things? So when we were in Biarritz in between the two confinements, I asked for an aspirin tablet.
Oh God.
From Bima, because I was super hungover. And apparently Germans are doing this thing where it's an aspirin tablet like this big. And you just
like
it's water.
An orange.
It's
okay?
A
like,
seltzer. It's a seltzer.
It was, I asked for aspirin. Okay. What was I supposed to say? Like, I can't say, can I have Tylenol to Dima's German family? And it was a seltzer this big that's supposed to dissolve in water.
Okay.
And I just assume
for
that
the listeners, this big refers to like about the size of an orange.
Yeah, it's in diameter.
Yeah,
it's
diameter. Around,
so the bottom of a mug, that diameter, a regular coffee mug. And I was like, okay, I have to swallow this aspirin tablet, but it was dissolved. I literally choked, and the aspirin, everything came out of my nose. I just assumed that I knew. I'm like, okay,
when
this
you
is
see
aspirin.
Something that big. Why are you like, oh, this is so normal.
And Ivana, oh it was God. Right before we were going to breakfast. You were there, so you say this part. You're like, Sarah, like breakfast is here. Like we have to go outside because we would eat on this beautiful terrace overlooking the ocean. And I was like, okay, I'm going to take this aspirin real quick because I feel like shit. And I swallow it with sparkling water. And literally, I felt it like in like, okay, so for everyone listening, it was in my esophagus. I felt it stuck. And so I was like, okay, let me swallow again just to like make it, it's not going down. And it literally,
your shit.
Ivana was there. So Ivana, what happened? Because you saw this.
You were like this dragon just going.
Every everything just came out just, from everywhere.
It all came out.
All came out.
5 minutes later, your ears, you know. 2.5 minutes later, I had my sunglasses on. I was at that breakfast table. I showed up, even though.
Oh, with dramatic, the nice boys.
What I can with the nice boys, but what I can take from that is don't assume like you know. I know that's like a really stupid metaphor, but I literally just assumed like, oh, it's
an this is your tablet. Lesson going into 2021, right?
Just yeah, don't assume things.
Don't swallow massive tablets.
That yeah, but no, but it was also don't assume things. Like don't assume things about people. You don't know what they're going through.
Don't assume that a tablet will just fit
don't, in your mouth if it doesn't. And your emotions are okay. Like I couldn't swallow it. I had to get it out, just like my emotions. I regurgitated it like a dragon, like you said. And that shit stretched my throat. It hurts so bad.
I'm so sorry.
No, but like from your perspective, how was that? Did you think I was gonna die?
Dude, I was just, you know, it's like when you put a Mentos in like a Coke. That's how your throat was. It was sad. I was so scared, but I was laughing. I'm so sorry. And you picked ones and then it just kept coming out of your mouth.
Because I kept trying to swallow it down. I'm like, yeah, no, you need aspirin.
I'm picturing it perfectly. Like,
that's horrible advice. I'm sorry. But I guess mainly, so don't assume things and trust your gut. Don't be mad at yourself for feeling the way you feel about things. Mm-hmm. Accept your feelings as they come and ask for help when you need it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my thing. So that's my spiel.
And mine is like, no matter what in life, like I prioritize like the two things that make me happy, like for sure, which is relationships, friendships, family, and like actually like making like call, you know, spend time with the people that you love because that like warms your heart and it just feels so good. Right. And that's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like spending time with you. No, I'm kidding.
Thank you. So like, okay, so spending time with the people you love and also spending time with yourself. Because that's very new to me. That's very new to me.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because you haven't like said.
I mean, it's nothing like incredible at all. It's nothing special at all. It's just taking the time and like making sure that like every day or if you can, like almost every day, you have like a tiny bit of time just for yourself where you can do something very simple that just makes you happy. Yeah. So like right now for me, just like, I'm just going to take out some time to read or whatever, or like doing yoga or like everybody's got something, right? I mean, writing.
I've been doing anything. Like when I wake up, I just write.
Puzzles.
No, not puzzles.
Coloring books.
Oh, no.
Frying an egg.
No, I do like 3 things that I'm grateful for in the morning when I wake up and before I go to
bed. That's awesome. See?
And literally that takes 20 seconds, but there are studies that show that it like, I mean, I haven't felt the data yet, but.
It's coming. What about you, Ivana? What's the one thing you're taking forward?
Well, every single day, just open my eyes and see things for really. Like, you know, if I'm in the metro, look at people. If the weather is nice, just embrace whatever I'm feeling. If I'm happy, not let not happiness scare me. You know, sometimes it's really scary. It's just, and it hurts a little to be happy. It's weird, but I find that I felt like that for a long time. It hurts to be happy because it could be snatched, you know, but just as you say, you know, riding, going with the flow. But every single day, just trying to be
grateful,
alive, being alive.
Grateful that we're alive. And also I meant to say this, but tell the people you love that you love them.
Yeah,
because if there's anything we've learned from this year, like divisiveness is literally the worst thing ever, and it just like festers and like I don't know.
And like this, like slowing down of like the rhythm and the pace, it brings you back to what really counts.
Yes,
like what actually like feeds your soul, like makes you happy.
And that's your heart. That could be different for everyone, and that's okay.
Exactly.
And so with that being said,
smooth.
Well, now you just wrote the moment.
No, but it was. And so that being said,
well, I just personally want to say, like, again, thank you everyone who's listened this year, who's put up with like
I personally want to say thank you too.
Yeah, and like honestly, like I said in the beginning, like I did this with Leia because I love Leia, and also I just wanted to feel less alone in Paris and connect with people, and like it has brought me more than that. And you know, just wherever you are listening to this, whatever your holiday looks like,
from we love any of you the 36 countries around the
and
world,
continents, we love and you here on Third Culture Kids. And I guess we will see you guys next year. And we are always looking. Well, actually, now we're starting to look for interviewees for next year.
Right. So if you want to be on our show,
or you know someone,
or you know someone, you can nominate them. Yeah, just force them. It's fine. And you can email us at kidsinquiry@gmail.com or through Instagram.
Yes. And also, at any time you're able to go back and listen to all of our episodes from this past season, from this past year, you can listen for free anytime via our Anchor website linked below. So be sure to like, subscribe, give it some love. We'll definitely be posting content on Instagram over the break, just seeing how everyone's doing. Also, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, which is about half of our listenership, it really helps if you like the show to rate it 5 stars and comment. Even if you say, "Hi, Sarah, your voice is super annoying," it does actually help.
Please say that.
Yeah, it would really make Leia feel better.
Yeah, it would.
But like Spotify is completely different. But the algorithm with Apple Podcasts is that if you rate it and comment, it actually helps us like just reach a broader platform. So that means a lot. But above all, we hope everyone has a safe and happy holiday season. And Ivana, is there maybe your Instagram or something you'd like to share somewhere where people can see your work? Can I link your Instagram down below?
Yeah. See.
It's at Odd No, but I'll put it down in the show notes.
Yeah. And thank you so much for like talking to us today. Yeah. And, like, it was such a nice conversation.
Oh,
so.
I love you guys. It's been a year too. And we're just day by day, man. And wherever you are listening in the world, like, just know that if you feel alone, you're not the only one. Yeah.
See.
So over and out, and we will see you guys.
Lots of love to everyone.
Yeah, lots of love.
And enjoy your holidays.
Yep. See you next year. Bye.